Well, we've been in a sermon series called Experiencing God, and this is in some way the last week, but that doesn't mean that we stop experiencing God, right? But hopefully you have been able to get a little bit of a glimpse of what it looks like to experience God, the realities, how you experience God. I'll just kind of remind us a couple of them. God is always at work. That He wants to have a relationship with you, a personal relationship with you. That He invites you in to His work to join Him on what He's doing. And we're going to finish today with that hard word to say, obedience. That we can experience God through obedience. So, because it's Mother's Day, I asked the question this week. I put it out on Facebook. I got some responses. I asked a few different people throughout the week. What are some things, what's the best advice your mom gave you? So think about it. I'm not going to have you share, but think about it. What is the best advice your mom ever gave you? Okay, so here's a couple funny ones. And then we'll get a little more serious. One of the people said, it's mayonnaise, not mayonnaise. Okay? You got to laugh with me on that one, right? No, maybe not. All right. Maybe that wasn't that funny. Maybe this was kind of silly, but maybe your mom said this, but this is what one person said. There is always time to use the restroom. Okay? Doesn't matter how late you are, there's always time. And you've heard this one before, maybe you've scratched your head on this one, but maybe your mom said this, I've heard it in my life. Always wear clean underwear in case you get in an accident, right? I'm not sure why that is, but that's been told to us by our parents, right? Maybe our moms. There's a couple people that shared things that they said that their moms demonstrated these things. So maybe it wasn't verbal advice, but it was how they lived their life. And so one of them said they demonstrate excitement in life, excitement to grow and to learn, even as they approach 80 years old, that they're excited and their mom is learning. Another person said that their mom demonstrated or always demonstrates a giving heart and a selfless perspective, always thinking of others. Some mom may have said to you, or maybe your mom has said, dare to be different. Someone said that. Another one was, remember those tiny, those Bibles, those little Bibles that people would hand out? Their mom would give a Bible to every single person they would run into or talk to. And each had different verses highlighted in them. That was really cool. A few others here. My mom always had a $2 bill in her pocket. And she said, as long as you have that, you are not broke. That's good advice. Someone else, I'll just let you know this is a silly one. So you can prepare yourself. Another one said, don't smoke, don't chew, and don't go out with the girls that do. I've heard that from my dad, I guess. But here's a couple of cool ones, a couple of serious ones. But when I would leave the house, my mama would call out, remember who you belong to, with an implied, God first, then dad and I. This was actually sweet because I think this was once someone who just lost their mom. She said, God celebrates us, so make a point to take time to celebrate, especially the little things. And then the last one I have here this morning is kind of thought-provoking. Conflict doesn't always mean the relationship is bad. In fact, if one person says they have never fought in their relationship, the other person in the relationship is not necessary. You can think about that for a minute. Well, when I was 4 or 5, my mom told me some things. And here's the question I want to propose throughout this this sermon is, why is it so difficult for us to obey? Why is it so difficult for us to obey? So when I was 4 or 5, I think my mom was at her wit's end. She reminds me that I was a strong-willed child, often. She reminds me. And she was at the wit's end, and she was telling me to stay out of the road. Now, you remember that commercial that the frying pan is burning hot, and they crack the egg in the frying pan, and they say, this is your brain. Crack the egg, put it in the frying pan. This is your brain on drugs. Well, I'm not saying this is a story about drugs, but this is a story about how my mom responded to me. She said, here's a bug. Here is a smashed bug. And, of course, she smashed it with her foot. And then she says, if you continue to go into the road, you are going to be like this bug. She gave me an object lesson. And so the problem was that I didn't like to do what my parents said. I struggled to obey. In fact, I'm still trying to work on that 47 years later. And so why do we have such a hard time obeying? Humanity struggles with this, don't they? I mean, we look at society, and society is, humanity has gone off the deep end with rebellion. And they're doing their own thing. They're making their own rules. They're making up their own truth and their own reality. And people don't like rules, and they don't like to feel controlled. And so there's this, I don't want to obey. I don't want to do what I'm told to do. And since the beginning of time, God has told us things. He's given us resources. He's told us great insights about life and given us advice. And he's told us the benefits of all that advice. And what has humanity done? Well, humanity, Adam and Eve, from the very beginning, they wanted something more. And they didn't obey. And so from then on, we have seen continued increase in self-promotion and self-centered living all throughout time. In fact, I'll give you some examples from the Bible. Adam was a blame shifter. Eve gave into deception and her own desire. Cain was a murderer. Noah was a drunk. Abraham, well, he struggled with faith, even though he was the father of faith. He let other men walk off with his wife. Sarah let her husband sleep with another woman and then hated her for it. Lot chose the wrong crowd. Job, even though he was perceived innocent, he was still struggling with pride. Isaac was a liar. Rebecca was a manipulative wife. Jacob was a pathological deceiver. Rachel, a thief. Reuben was a pervert. Moses had problems with anger. Aaron was an adulterer. Miriam was jealous and greedy for power. Samson was a sex addict. Eli was a bad father. Saul was a psychotic with manic bursts of anger. David was an adulterer and a murderer. And Solomon was a sex addict and chased after treasures. Now, that was the bad news, right? The good news is that God has forgiven us. The good news is Jesus came to save us from our sins. But let's ask the question again. Why is it so hard for us to obey? Why is it so hard for us, I'll change the word, to trust God? because I think it's the same, very similar thing. I would suggest one reason, and I'll break it into 5 points. Not big points, just five things that relate to this. Are you ready for it? Why do we struggle to obey in life? It's because we're afraid. It's because we're afraid. Number one, we are afraid of being unknown and unimportant. If we trust and obey Him, we fear someone will reject us. If we trust and obey God, we fear someone will reject us. Number two, we fear looking bad. We don't want to look bad. And we don't want to look like a fool. And so if we obey God, if we trust Him, if we do what He says, we might look like a fool. The number third fear is that we will be without. That we will not have the things that we need or the resources that we need. That we fear that our needs won't be met. And so that's a fear that we have as humanity. Also, number four, we fear that we will not have enough if we don't have what it takes. That if we obey God and we do what He says, that we just don't have enough, we don't have what it takes to do what He's asked us to do. And number five is we fear that if we obey, if we do what's right and we trust God, we might have to do something lame. We might have to be doing something that we don't want to do. So if only we knew the benefits of obedience and trust. Now, Forrest Gump, he was a simple man. And you've seen the movie. If you haven't seen the movie, it's a good movie. It's a powerful movie. It's got some insight in it. And there's a scene where Lieutenant Daniel Taylor asks Forrest if he has found Jesus. I'm not going to give you his accent sound this morning, but Forrest responds by saying, "I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him, sir." And this kind of summarizes what this sermon series has been drawing out with that question, experiencing God. And having our eyes open to see and to experience Him in a deeper way. And so we've been learning that God is always working. He always has a plan and He has a purpose. And that His ways are higher than our ways. And we are realizing from this that God has some advice for us on how to best walk in life. And so getting back to Forrest Gump, he obviously learned some things from his mom because he had those, you know, Forrest Gump phrases. Here's some of them. Mama always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. That's good advice. To be aware that life is an adventure. And that we have to let life go and trust God in that. Another one is, Mama always had a way of explaining things I could understand. She simplified things. And so to make sure that life is simple, don't make it too complex. Mama also always said, you've got to put the past behind you before you can move on. So and maybe to add to this is forgive and to move on and don't get stuck in the past. Mama always said, dying was a part of life. I sure wish it wasn't. And the reality is life is tough and there is death. Mama also said, there's only so much fortune a man really needs and the rest is just for showing off. And I guess that what that means is be humble. Be humble. God gives you recognition and be humble. Two more. Mama always said, you have to do the best with what God gave you. That's good advice. Be thankful. Be grateful. Mama also always said, miracles happen every day. Some people don't think so, but they do. And so these are some of the things that Mama said and that Forrest took to heart. They were to benefit him. And it seems to me that we have some people in our lives that have told us some advice, that have given us some insight into life, and it would benefit us to listen, to obey, to trust. In the same way, that is what's going on in this passage that we're going to look at in Exodus 3. This is a story of Moses that you could read his whole story and it would take you weeks. Because Moses' story is very long. We're looking at one part of his story. And this is after the burning bush. God has shown himself to Moses. And Moses has had this experience, this burning bush. It didn't burn up the bush. And God spoke to him through this bush. And so then Moses and God have a dialogue. I want to read to you a few verses from Exodus 3 and 4. If we could get it up on the screen. Starting with verse 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Verse 10. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. The name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is it that is in your hand, a staff? He replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out, took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Then the Lord said to him, Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else to do it. Well, Moses came up with five excuses to not obey. The first one is, who am I that I should go? In so many ways, Moses is saying, I'm a nobody. I don't have any real identity. I am a lone sheep herder in the desert. They don't know me. And I might be rejected. And so what does God say to Moses? He says, I will be with you. Moses, you are not alone. You are important to me. You do have a purpose, and I have a purpose for you to do. And I will go with you. So the number one excuse was, who am I? The second one was, okay, suppose I go and they ask me who you are. And so Moses is really kind of scrambling here. He says, I really don't know you very well yet. I've heard of you, but you and I are really not that close. And besides, I will look like a fool because I don't know you, and I'm just really not connected, and I'm just unaware of who you are. And so God says who he is. He says, I am. I have always been with you. And then he reminds Moses, I am the God of your fathers. You already know me. I've already been with you through time. So that was number two. I don't know who I am. I don't know who you are. And number three is, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? I don't have anything to help believe, for them to believe. And so God has this miraculous thing happen where he puts the staff down and turns into a snake. And it just goes on where he puts his hand into his coat and it turns into leprosy, and he brings it back out and it's not leprosy anymore. And so God reassures Moses that he has the resources and all the resources that Moses will need. So Moses is told that he has identity, that he does know who God is, and that he will have all the resources to go. So his fourth excuse, Moses says, with such politeness, pardon your servant, Lord, but I have not been eloquent. I am not good at speech. I am slow at speech, and my tongue, I'm just not a good speaker. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the skills and or the talents that are worthy of this that you are asking me to do. And so God, it's almost like he puts his foot down. And he says, and this is kind of a similar thing that happened with Job, this rhetorical question. Who do you think I am? I am the God of the universe. I created your mouth. I created your brain. I created everything about you. I can make you speak, and I can teach you what to say. So basically he's saying, do you know who you are talking to? I am God, and I will give you everything you need. So it comes down to the last one, and this is where it hits, the rubber hits and meets the road. It's like, this is the real reason. And of course he says it very politely. Pardon your servant, Lord, but please send someone else. He basically is saying, I won't be able to do what I want if I obey you. It's really just about me and my fears. And so he says, I just don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it. And maybe that's the thing that's wrestling inside of you when it comes to trusting and obeying. That you wrestle like I wrestle with the fact that I just don't want to do it. But it goes back to those fears. And those fears are, again, being unknown, looking bad, being without, not being enough, and doing something lame. But that's not the case in Moses's or in your life. That God has a purpose for Moses, and he has a purpose for you. If only we knew the benefits of obedience. If only we knew what life would look like 10 years from now if we made good choices, if we trusted him, if we obeyed what he said. Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 8, those two verses, are pretty cool because they tell us a couple benefits that I think you might want to hear. We have it on the screen, Deuteronomy? No? That's right. I'll just read it to you. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. Verse 1. Verse 8. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. Now, God is not a formula. But there is definite evidence that there are blessings and there are benefits that happen because you are obedient and you trust the Lord. Right there in that verse, it says he will take care of you. He will bless you. He will set you up. He will send blessing to where you live and to what you do. Now, here's the bad side to that. Here's the bad news. There are consequences. In this same passage, or in the same chapter, verse 15 and 20, you know those that word that you hear in a, in Harry Potter movie, you know, that word curse? God uses this in this passage. He says, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. Verse 20, the Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. So curses and confusion and rebuke and destruction you'll come to sudden ruin. So only if we would focus on the benefits, if we would realize that there are benefits to obeying God. I want to give you a couple more verses of benefits. Jeremiah 7:23 is another one. But I gave them this command, obey me and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all I command, that it may go well with you. So you will be known, and it will go well with you when you obey, when you trust, when you do what God has asked you to do. You remember that story where it was told, Luke shared it, he wrote it down, and Jesus was talking about what to build your house on, you know, the sand or the rock, and the consequences of building your house on sand. What happens? It collapses when the storms come. But if you build your house on the rock, then it will stand. Well, this is Luke 6. It says, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck the house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. the moment of the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So when you trust the Lord, when you obey Him, when you build your life on Him as your foundation, you are unshakable. You will stand. I want to give you one more. John 7, another benefit. Jesus answered, John 7, 16 through 17. My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God and whether I speak on my own. So when we obey God, when we do what we are asked to do, we have spiritual discernment. We have wisdom. We know what God wants us to do. There's no question about it. And so some of the benefits of obeying God is He will set us up. He will send blessing on where we live. He will send blessing on what we do. He will give us what we need to know. It will go well with us. We will not be shaken, and we will have spiritual discernment and wisdom. That's good benefits. Better than Costco. Better than any other company. Better than Amazon, right? And so what should you do about this? Well, I want to encourage you to decide that the benefits outweigh the consequences. That the benefits are way more great than the consequences. And it's worth trusting the Lord and putting your faith in Him. Decide that God is trustworthy, that He is loving, that He cares about you, that His ways are higher than your ways. He knows better, just like Mama knew better, right? Now, let's just stop for a moment and just to think about this. If you struggle with knowing if God is speaking to you, I want you to know, I want to remind you that He is. Just like Mama always said, and you're living life 30 years later and you're hearing her voice in your head, her advice is the same idea that God wrote down in 66 books of His Word, telling us, giving us advice, telling us how to live, and 30 years later, we're hearing it in our head and we're going, okay, now what do I do with that? He's speaking to you through His Word. And through His Spirit, He will remind us of His Word. And so how do we live this out? Well, if you love Jesus, if you love God, you will obey Him. If you really, truly love someone, you will do things from your heart that prove that you love them. So you've gotten a gift for your mom today, you've gotten her a card, or you've blessed somebody with a gift, a lady that deserves it. But you didn't do it just because, I'm just making a guess. You didn't do it because you're required. You did it because you really do truly love that person. And so, 1 John hits it on the head. 1 John 2, 3 through 5. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. So do you love Jesus? If you love Jesus, obey His words. Obey what He says. Trust what He says because it's He knows better. He knows how to live. He already showed us. He's given us the power to live. And so that's how we can play it out in our lives. And so in conclusion, John MacArthur says this: we can feel strongly about obedience and not be obedient. We can feel that it's right to be obedient and not obey. We can feel confident that obedience is the path to blessing and usefulness and joy, and still not obey. Have you struggled with that? I have. I see the benefits. I see the consequences. I don't obey. I go this direction. And in retrospect, I realize I should have been over here, because the benefits outweigh the consequences. So really, the obedience is a moment of truth. What you do will reveal what you believe about God. What you do will reveal what you believe about God. He's always given us wisdom. He's always given us advice. He's always given us ways to live. And so just like Moses, God is speaking to you about who you are, about who He is, about what resources He has for you, and then what abilities and skills He has wired into you, and what purpose He has in store, and wants you to join Him in the adventure of a lifetime. So here's the million-dollar question. Ready? What is God telling you to do that you haven't done yet? Whatever that thing is, that is what this sermon is all about. What has God already told you that you haven't done? And the key word is yet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us all the time. We thank you for your word and your pouring life into us. Just like Mom always said, God has always said that you are near. God has always said that you are trustworthy. You have always said that you have a plan and a purpose. You have always said that when we obey you, when we trust you, that benefits come. And so, Lord, would you help us this morning with that question? Would you remind us of what you have already asked us to do? And then would you give us the courage to step out in faith to be obedient? May that word obedient change from a negative to a positive. May we experience the blessings because of it. For your glory, for your kingdom, we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. And the church says, amen.